Oh man, this is so stressful.
G1, you good? We're gonna be on the air in a couple minutes here.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm missing something. Let's roll with the intro. Oh dang it! Oh, shoot.
That's not our normal thing.
There we go.
Okay. Are we hosting the NFL game today?
Dang it!
I don't know what you're doing. I don't know who you think you are, but we have a show and you're not doing it.
This is embarrassing. Okay, I think I got it.
Welcome to the Vietnam Fantasy Football Talk Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, the two G's, Mark and Drew.
That was stressful.
Is that really stressful?
That was stressful. You know, there are three people in the world you never want them to say, oops. Number one, you never want your surgeon to say, oops. Number two, you never want your barber to say, oops. And then number three, you never want your tattoo artist to say, oops.
Yeah, I always, you know, get worried when my tattoo artist says that.
But I think there's another one. You don't ever want your sound guy, your sound engineer guy for the podcast to go, oops. So that was a big oops there. But, oh, well, hey, we got through it. We dealt with it. And let's talk about the holidays. We just got through the holidays. How'd you do? How'd you fare? Did your net worth go up?
No.
A little bit, didn't it?
Oh, it did. Yeah, it did, actually. I forgot about that.
So
it was did yours go up?
Well, goodwill increased. Okay. So that's one way to look at. Hey, you got to see some buddies, didn't you?
I did.
With the league.
Our commissioner.
The commish. Thomas, the
commish. Dylan.
And Landon. Anybody else?
Those are all the ones that I saw that were in our league.
And then the season, it's over. I mean, our last show was before Christmas, and we knew the championship round. We knew the story, didn't we?
Had a good feeling for it, yeah.
So, you know, a little bit of a letdown. Yeah. Was it weird? You and I think, were in Defiance, Missouri,
right,
watching the Chiefs get past the Chargers, and I'm thinking that every Chiefs fan has a big picture of
Fitzpatrick. It's magic, baby.
But was it kind of nice not having to pick a team?
For a change, yeah, it was. Just rooting for the team that I care about the most.
Hey, I want to put you on the spot before we get into the show. Who are your picks? I'm not going to ask you who's going to win. Who's going to get in? Who will be at the Super Bowl? It's Miami, right?
I think it is. Yeah. Gotta say, it's gonna come down to the Ravens and
the Chiefs.
Possibly the Chiefs. And I think that's gonna be the game to decide things on the AFC side. I don't think the Patriots have a chance, to be honest.
I agree.
On the NFC side, I think that's a lot more interesting. I think just about any team that's in there, that's in the top four, has a chance, because you got the Saints that have looked, you know, really good pretty much all year. Obviously, the 49ers continue to play well. They've had some issues, yes, but
on defense.
Yeah, but they're still kind of showing up to play. I would go with the Saints as my pick. I think the Seahawks had a chance before they lost their running backs.
Oh, that hurt.
But I don't think they have a chance now. They're too one-sided.
You know, the Eagles, I mean, they could be a surprise team, but I'm like you. I'm going with the Saints, and this is not going to be a popular pick. I don't think anyone gets through the Ravens. I think this is their year.
Fair enough.
Very magical season. Hey, by the way, we do have an interesting show. Kind of cool. We have coming up later in the show, we have the March of the Champions. The March of the Champions. Does that sound cool?
Very cool.
I don't even think you know what's up. I think this may be a little bit of a surprise. You've seen part of the script.
I did.
But you don't know everything that we are doing. By the way, we will be picking our all-rookie team coming up. And we're also going to be talking, our crack staff has been doing a lot of work, and they have told us about the origin of fantasy football. All that and more is coming up.
Jackson has all day, looking deep for Hollywood Brown again. He's got it. Brown off to the races, and he stays on his feet. Touchdown.
What a season it was. 2019, just a great, great season.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have some of those clips throughout the show, just for some fun. Hey, it's not every day that I get to be around a celebrity. And that celebrity is, of course, G2.
Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you so much.
My partner. And we need to tee up your theme song, G2. Well, the one I picked for
you.
Okay. Because you're a celebrity, I've got 10 questions to ask you.
Oh boy.
And, of course, anytime you have a celebrity being interviewed, one of the first questions asked is, are you single?
We all know the answer to that, G1.
Okay. Question number two. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Biggest pet peeve? I definitely know this one. When someone opens up, you know, maybe a package of cheese or something, you know, like the string cheese or whatever, and then they leave the torn part on it, and so it's just hanging off the side. I hate that. We all know who does that.
Okay, next question. Where would you like to visit?
Definitely Italy or New Zealand.
Oh, good picks.
Italy because of the art, New Zealand just because it's, you know, where Lord of the Rings was, so can't beat that.
Favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I usually just go with Gladiator. That's kind of my go-to. Pretty man's kind of a movie.
Like it. Favorite place to eat?
The Lord's place, obviously. Chick-fil-A.
What? No, wait a minute. I mean, that's a good place, yeah, but what about the steak place that we like to go to?
Yeah, I guess CC City Boiler is okay.
Gosh. What would be your superpower?
Pausing time. Pausing time.
Interesting.
Always been my favorite.
Okay, there's a reason for this question. Don't overthink it. Are you good at accents?
Not at all.
I love it. I love it.
For all you fantasy footballers out there, I do not have a good accent.
I love it. A fictional character to read that you would like to be in real life.
Fictional character I'd like to be in real life. You know, Percy Jackson. You're probably too old to even know who that is, but a lot of you all know out there know who that is. Percy Jackson, definitely. He's a demigod character.
Interesting.
Yes.
We got two more. What players influenced you growing up? Think sports.
Oh, for sure. Definitely Mark McGwire's up there. Ken Griffey Jr. Even Derek Jeter, Nomar Garciaparra. A lot of baseball players come to my mind first, just because I watched more baseball as a kid than football or anything else.
I was worried you might say Antonio Brown.
No, not exactly.
And then the last question. The last question, the best advice for young athletes. You're in a coaching situation. You're a situation where people have looked up to you. I know some stories that some people don't know. We'll keep those private. But what's your advice for young athletes?
You can always learn something more. You're never going to be in a position where you know everything about everything. And there's always going to be someone that knows more than you. And so to be humble and be always willing to learn something new, I think it's a huge thing.
And there you go. That's called Ask the Celebrity.
3-0 as a starter. Hands it off to McCaffrey. There he goes. It's a C-Mac attack. McCaffrey, one man to beat. McCaffrey all the way.
Wouldn't you like to have him?
Yes.
On your team?
Yes.
JB, we envy you. I'll trade you Nick Chubb for C-Mac.
Yeah, he'll do that.
Think he'll do that? Hey, it's like as we were planning our show, there are so many angles we could go. Well, you know, we've looked at the teams. We've dissected various teams throughout the year. So we've got really our next big thing in our league will be coming up in August or September, and that will be the draft, right?
Right.
So I thought, let's look back. Let's look back and look at the all-rookie team. And this was fun putting it together. And the all-rookie team, we're going to have two running backs, two wide receivers, a quarterback, a tight end, and two flex positions. And I'm going to turn it over to G2, the celebrity. Who are your top two running backs, G2?
Top two running backs. First one I'm going to go with is Josh Jacobs. Although he did not lead the league in rookie points as a running back, I think he came in with the most hype, and he kind of lived up to it, especially the first half of the season. Had some injury issues, and that really kept him from scoring well. I think that really held him back. Otherwise, I would say he would have been the top running back in the league.
Agree. He was out week 15, 16, yes. Just to play to your point. Yes.
Second one, this can go either way, honestly. Okay, so Miles Sanders scored the most points as a running back in the rookie category, put up 212 points. So it's hard not to go with him. He's a good option overall just because he can catch the ball, run the ball. I don't like their backfield, though. I think it kind of maybe hindered him a little bit. So honestly, even though he's lower on the list, Devin Singletary for the Bills, he's on a good team, and I really, really, really like his playing style. I like the way he plays. I would go with Devin Singletary here.
That is a fascinating pick. Okay, moving on. Let's go to the wide receiver position.
Wide receiver. Can't go wrong with A.J. Brown. He's kind of been a highlight reel, especially towards the end of the season. He put up 4 different double-digit games in the last, 5 weeks. So definitely A.J. Brown. And next spot, kind of there's been some good rookie wide receivers this year. Terry McLaurin, he was a show at the beginning of the year. And I think if he had been on a good team, I think it would have showed a little even more how good he could have been. Still put up the second most points as a wide receiver as a rookie. So going with Terry McLaurin is my second wide receiver.
Interesting. Quarterback.
Quarterbacks. Kyler Murray. I was a huge fan of him coming in just because I love the style of being so mobile in the backfield. Definitely like him moving forward as well. Although we've talked about Daniel Jones kind of before the show, how he put up the most as a
30-point games. Three of them.
I think he could be great, but I'd love the option of having such a mobile quarterback as Murray, and I think he has a team that could grow as well if they can have a good rounded defense as well.
If I can jump in real quickly, the interesting thing with the Cardinals is at the beginning of the season, we thought, oh, this is a passing team. Now we get into the Kenyon Drake era of the season. Oh, now we're a running team.
R.I.P. David Johnson.
Yeah. But I do think Kyler Murray can play either way.
Yes.
Running, throwing. By the way, 282 points for the year.
Quite decent.
Tight end. And then we'll do flex last. Tight end.
I think this really isn't close. The name that kind of stood out at the beginning of the year was T.J. Hockenson, and it came out in his first 2 weeks. People were like, oh my gosh, this is, he's the next Gronkowski.
Yep.
He had a 25-point game in the very first week, and then another 12-point game in week four. Kind of fell off the track after that. The person that kind of stood out over the course of the season, although he had some duds. He's a tight end. It's hard to be consistent as a tight end, but Noah Fant for the Denver Broncos.
Okay. I'm rolling with it. Okay, now we've got the flex position. We got two people. Let's pick a running back, and let's pick a wide receiver, G2.
Running back. I'm going to go back to Miles Sanders.
I like it.
Again, just as I said before, I think he's pretty versatile. He can do multiple things. He can catch the ball and run the ball. And you can't argue with getting over 200 points on the year. So to have him on the flex, that'd be pretty awesome. And as a wide receiver, another wide receiver, I'm going to go with my guy, DK Metcalf. A little biased there, but I think he's a big body, and he did a really good job of being a possession receiver. And I think moving forward, he could end up being the number one guy in Seattle.
You know, a couple of guys who got left off. Deebo Samuel, he is going to be a superstar.
Agreed.
And Darius Slayton is, I think he is underrated. I think we're going to hear more and more about him. I think Deontay Johnson for the Steelers has some upside because, I mean, you've got Big Ben coming back next year. Right. So let's see how that plays out. By the way, my picks were running back Miles Sanders and Josh Jacobs. My receivers, we were the same. A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin. I went with Kyler Murray, too. I also went with Noah Fant tied in. And then my flex positions, a little bit different. This may be controversial. I went with David Montgomery.
Okay.
And then DK Metcalf for my wide receiver position in the flex. Now, here's a question I have for you. If you played this team, of course we don't have a defense or we don't have a kicker. If you'd have had this team every single week, would you have done well with this team?
I guess without knowing the what it would look like and kind of putting together what actual points, I think there'd definitely be some games won. But, the way it is with rookies, they're pretty inconsistent at times. And so you're going to have weeks, I bet, where probably would have scored, under 100 points even, and maybe 120. And that's not enough necessarily to win a game. Again, not discounting defense, of course, and the kickers. But I think there would definitely be some wins. But I don't think it would be playoff worthy.
This was an eye-opener. The average score for these players, and I factored out by weeks and weeks they did not play. Average score, 102.
102, okay.
Now, and then you add maybe 10 to 15 points for your special teams.
Right.
You're not going to win.
115, 120. You're going to win some games, but not.
So I was thinking, wow, I would have guessed higher, but it just goes to show, like you just said, you cannot rely on them.
No.
These are filler pieces that you obviously need to build your team in years 2, 3, and 4, and 5. By the way, if you took their best, this is fun.
Ooh, I know what you're going to say.
Again, this is leaving out special teams. I picked every player that we picked their best week and added those scores together the best week. And again, this is without the kicker or the defense, 228 points.
Wow.
Now I took everyone's, I looked then week to week to week to week. I took the players we picked, and I picked the scores for those the best week. It was like week number 9. Yeah, week number 9, the top score was 148.
Okay.
But you had weeks where it was in the 60s, 100, 90. So, again, it was
all
up
over
and
the place.
Down. So, again, the key, and Thomas made a great point on the show a few weeks ago that, it takes time. You can't just look at the rookie in their rookie year.
Right.
You have to look at them 2, 3 years out. And probably we'll do a blog post in a week or two before the Super Bowl looking at last year's rookies to see how they did. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say Nick Chubb had the most points. The consensus pick may have been Saquon Barkley, but he fell off there. Of course, he had the injury, the ankle injury.
Right.
Took him a while to get back up. So anyway, that is the all-rookie team. I'm sure you all will have your opinions and send all hate mail to
G1.
No. So, hey, don't go away. We still have some more fun stuff coming up.
That's George Fant, the extra tackle in motion. He can also be a tight end. Oh, little trickery here. Wilson gets it back, looking, airing it deep, going for it all, and he's got it for the touchdown.
Wow. Drew, G2, about when do you think fantasy football got started?
I know it's at least been around probably since the 80s, probably without knowing any, foreknowledge at all. I would say maybe like the 80s, 70s, maybe.
You want to go back another decade?
I guess I'll have to.
There is, and we'll put this in the show notes or in a blog post, there are two articles, and ESPN has the best article, and I don't even have it up. Well, yeah, actually I do. I have it up on one of my monitors here, but there's a league. Let me read it. I got it in our notes. It's called the Greater Oakland Professional Prognosticators League.
Long title.
And I'm glad they use the abbreviation GOPPL. And I'm sure there's a reason for that. This started in 1963. Their first draft was in 1963 in Oakland.
You were a baby.
And that's right. I was born in 61. You had a bar owner who was a part owner of the Oakland Raiders.
Interesting. Okay.
And the first league had 8 people in it. The first draft pick. did I tell you who
he told me, but I've forgotten the name.
First pick was George Blanda. Now, growing up as a Chiefs fan, as a little boy, he was the enemy. In fact, the Oakland Raiders, they were like the enemy. And George Blanda was the quarterback. So he was also a kicker, so you get points being a quarterback and
interesting. Okay.
Kicker. But he picked George Blanda, and then he, of course, in the article, he goes on to say, don't ever pick a quarterback first. Always
good advice.
The pick number two, I can't ask you. You're not going to know, but Jim Brown was pick number two. That's the person
that should have been picked one.
That should have been picked. So I got some quotes, some really funny quotes from one of the articles. I think this is the ESPN article. He had about 18, 17 bits of advice, and the first one was he basically just said, you need to quit at some point in time. Because when they interviewed him, he was already turning 90 years old, and it was going to be his last year. So he says it's never too late to call it quits. And imagine doing fantasy football for 50 years.
Wow.
I mean, this league, and now JB and I won't be around, but I can see 8 of you being around doing this for 50 years.
For sure.
I don't even want to guess. And by the way, I can almost see us having the commish having the same rules 50 years from now as we do. Commish. There were 8 teams in that first league, and we talked about who the first pick was. But yeah, he goes on to say, oh, this is hilarious. He says, read the obituaries before your draft.
Oh, wow.
Well, someone picked J.V. Kane, and again, I'm a Cardinals fan. He was a St. Louis Cardinals, and I forget the story. I need to go look it up, but J.V. Kane died, don't know how, but 2 weeks before the draft, and someone picked him. And it's kind of dark humor. But at the end of the year, they give out awards, like someone, you know, got the award for coming in last place. I got a jersey that has 00 on it. Well, the guy who picked J.V. Kane, he got a little mini casket. I mean,
oh my god,
that's bad. There was one other thing. We'll move on here.
Ooh.
He says draft as though your life depends on it. So, a number of years ago, the league started increasing. And, it wasn't just one league. It was a league, but it had all these different divisions. So they had this all-ladies division, and he had one of the bouncers be the moderator. And he ended up having a heart attack. In fact, he could even see what was going on. The guy just, he grabbed his chest, fell over the table, and they had to call an ambulance.
Probably just too stressful being around so many women.
I guess. So they get the ambulance, they pick him up, and I think he goes on to, he ends up being fine. But this founder says, ladies, do you want to quit? They said, no, let's keep going on.
So, priorities.
So again, his point being draft as though your life depends on it.
Like it.
One last thing that interested me is, again, this is 1963. I mean, we've got real-time data. I mean, you don't even have to wait. I did my first fantasy baseball back in 1991 in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, with a partner at McGladrey in Poland. And we had to wait till the next day to get our data. I mean, when I say next day, we had a guy who tracked all the data, put it into, we were using either Symphony or we were using Lotus 1-2-3. He'd key in all the data and then be ready Monday morning. So a week's worth of data. I mean, we could have been looking at the newspaper. You had the box scores, but even then it was a little clunky. So imagine today everything is in real time, but back then in 1963 at 2:15, when the founder would close the bar, he'd go down to the local newspaper there in Oakland and would wait to get the box scores. And of course, they don't have near the data or the content that they do today. So that's how they did it. And then all the data would be up by Friday on a board. And then people would set their lineups coming into the bar that Friday, wow, the week after. Wow. And so there was no guarantee that your guys would be right. I mean, you couldn't tell if someone hadn't practiced all week.
Yeah, those last second moves, you definitely wouldn't be able to do.
So anyway, we'll have some of this in a upcoming blog post, but just found this very, very, very fascinating. So, hey, don't go away. We've got our last segment, our last Stump the Expert coming up. So do not go away. Landon, don't even go to the bathroom.
Watson first and 10. Once again, he goes up the middle. That's dropped. That may be live, and it's picked up by Antachu. QT dropped the ball. He's still alive, breaking tackles with an entourage. Going the other way. Simmons with the block, and there he goes with the ball loose and picked up by Jackson on his homecoming.
I could listen to him all day. That's Kevin Harlan. Didn't he do the game, the last game, the Chiefs?
Yes.
And the Chargers, man, I love him. And I think he started out doing, I think he was on the Chiefs radio network doing the Chiefs games. And then it's like, this guy's good. And then he made it to the network level calling games. But just great, 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 great voice. So, hey, it is that time. And we are going to play Stump the Expert. This is backed by popular demand. I've had two people say, I wish you'd do that more often. So our crack staff came up with just three questions, and these are going to be based around running. Okay. We're going to chunk this and keep a little bit simple, so we're not going all over the place. What is or are breakaway runs?
Breakaway runs. I would assume that it's either after a broken tackle and it's a gain of, more than a certain number of yards, or maybe it doesn't even have to be a broken tackle. Maybe it's just a gain of, a certain amount that's over, 10, 20 yards or something like that.
You're on it. It's irrelevant to if you break a tackle.
Okay.
It's 15 yards or more.
Okay.
Now, this is a two-part question. Can you take a guess who led the league in breakaway runs?
McCaffrey?
Good guess. But remember, it's the count, the number.
Right.
Nick Chubb. 17. Okay. 17. Wow. And you will never guess number two. And I'll just say this. He's not a starter. He's a backup.
Backup. I'm trying to think who that would be.
He's on my team.
Now I'm trying to remember your team.
Think the number one handcuff in the NFL.
For the Cowboys? Vikings. What's his name?
Alexander Madison.
Yeah, Madison.
Eight. And then Duke Johnson had six. Huh.
That is really interesting. Two people that haven't done a whole lot fantasy-wise.
Okay, now this one is an interesting question. I enjoyed this one. Opportunity share. Now, again, we're talking the backfield. Opportunity share. What is it?
It's probably looking at the total number of carries and then how many that specific running back is getting compared to the whole.
Yes. The answer is yes. It's total 18 carries plus targets. So okay. That's the denominator. Okay. So it's targets, not to the wide receivers, but targets to the running backs right. plus touches, carries. You add those two, that's the denominator. And, of course, the numerator would be your touches.
Right.
Who is number one? And this percentage just, this percentage blows me away.
Last year, I would have said Alvin Kamara. This year, I can't even come up with an answer. I'm really not sure.
We heard his name earlier.
McCaffrey. Oh, duh. Yeah.
Here's the percentage, G2. 92.4%. Oh, do they not have another running back?
I don't even know who it is, to be honest.
It's like, that'd be a good trivia question.
Who is McCaffrey's handcuff?
Yeah, and then who came in second?
Think big,
and you mentioned his name a couple of minutes ago.
Mine is
Derrick Henry.
Oh, duh. Okay,
he's at 80.2, okay. And then Le'Veon Bell, 77.1%. Okay. He's number three. All right. You're going to know this one after I tell you the answer. It's a cool name. What is Juke Rate?
Juke Rate.
J-U-K-E. Juke Rate.
I would say the rate at which a running back either tries to make a broken or like, you know, make some type of move on a defender. Or, you know, something like that.
Good guess. This is interesting. So it isolates running backs on fields, their on-field elusiveness, and the ability to break tackles.
Okay.
So the numerator is evaded tackles, and the denominator is touches.
Okay.
So that's the percentage. Now, this is going to be hard. I mean, I'm not even going to ask you. I'll just read the names. I'll tell you if you think this is interesting. You never guessed them. I mean, I would have even picked my guy, Nick Chubb. I would have picked Derrick Henry. They're not on the list. They're further down. Mark Ingram has the highest juke rate.
I would not have guessed that.
35%. Miles Sanders. And this is something for Thomas to be aware of. And what we need to do, this is where analytics takes off. You need to see, is there a correlation between juke rate and performance, fantasy points. And then finally, this one is a shocker, the old man.
Oh, I would say, are we talking about Frank Gore or are we talking?
AP.
AP, okay.
32%.
Wow.
So it's like.
Still breaking tackles.
Which tells me he's not giving up.
He did have some good games this year.
He did. It's just, which games do you start
right,
him?
Right.
Well, we are at that point of the show, and we are calling it the March of Champions. And I've been looking forward to this all week. In fact, I knew I was going to do this 2 weeks ago. And I'm trying to just figure out how to get this set up. I think we just go ahead and do it. So here come it's the champions. They're walking through the stadium, and I'm just going to start calling their names out in descending order. So number 10, Team Stump.
Tough year, but he'll bounce back.
Number 9, MLB Baseball.
Two superstars in the making.
Number 8, your mom's hot yoga class.
What a turnaround in 2019.
Number 7, Team Miller.
He is only going up.
Number 6, Team Landon, Team Ball, I guess that is.
He's good. He's going to be good next year.
And then I see coming into the stadium right now, that looks like number 5. Yep, that's it. East Dakota Community College.
So very close. Just wait.
All right, let's stand, you two. Here are the final four. Number four, Need to Breeze, Hard Knocks.
Great year, great team.
Number three, Deflator Gators.
One word, fellas, C-Mac.
All right, here are the final two. I see him. Here he comes. I see his head. There he is. He's got a big grin on his face. Number two, Mr. Wright.
Great running back combo.
Up, I see the final guy. I see him. He's signing an autograph. Oh, get in here. quit doing that. Oh, put that baby down. All right, here he comes. Here he comes. Here, number one, the champion, Acme Pack.
Chris, can you make it a three-peat?
Wow, so there you go. There you have it, the March of Champions. It was a great season, wasn't it, Drew?
Absolutely great. Can't wait for next year.
And I think that is a wrap, and we will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Vietnam Fantasy Football Talk with the two Gs, Mark and Drew.